What a blessing. Take your Bible and turn to Exodus chapter number 20. You say, oh no, we're back on the Ten Commandments. Yep, we got two more. There ain't no sense in getting seven of them, leaving the last two out, amen? Or two more after today. Y'all pray for me. I'm in the middle of a dilemma. I'm trying to make a huge spiritual decision in my life. I think next Saturday will help me. If the Bulldogs lose one more game, I'm going to start cheering for Alabama. Amen? But, Brother Freddie said amen right there. Hallelujah. Amen. Exodus chapter number 20. We have been preaching through the Ten Commandments, and it seems like it's taken forever. We've skipped a couple of Sundays in there. But we have went through this thing, and we began to look, or I have, and I hope you have, began to look at the Ten Commandments as our code of conduct for our life. Amen? Just kind of a creed that we live by. Amen? Some people said we need to set principles for our life. If the laws on the highway are our principles to keep us safe, that's why we have speed limits, right? Amen? If the laws are our principles in life to keep us safe, the law of our God is our spiritual laws to keep us safe in our life. Amen? Amen. There is not one bad idea in Exodus chapter number 20. Hey, not one bad idea. Not a single one. You can't say, well, I disagree with that. I mean, you can take a stinking liberal. How can you disagree with thou shalt not commit adultery? Amen. How can you disagree with that? Them desperate housewife people, they might have a problem with it. Amen. But normal thinking people don't have a problem with not what thou shalt not kill. I mean, how simple is that? Amen. Are we all right?
Yes, sir.
Amen. I discovered something this week. I get mad every time they talk about not allowing the Ten Commandments to be in our courthouses. I figured it out. How in the world could a bunch of crooked lawyers and judges be comfortable looking up over their heads on the wall while they plead their case, thou shalt not bear false witness, or thou shalt not lie. Amen? Amen. Of course they have a problem with it. They get paid to lie.
Yeah.
They get paid to be crooked.
Yeah.
Amen. Somebody once told me, and I don't know if it's true, by the way, he was a lawyer. It was Brother Tom Washburn, who died right here in our bathroom at church. Brother Tom was a lawyer, and here's what he said. He said, Brother Eddie, my wife and I had supper at their house. He said, there is nothing you can do that money can't get you out of. That's what he said. He said, there is almost nothing you can do that money can't get you out of. Doesn't matter whether you're guilty. Doesn't matter whether you did it or not. Look at O.J. Simpson. Doesn't matter whether you committed the crime or not. It's how good your lawyer is. It's how slick your lawyer is. Amen? So those laws that we say govern our country, I don't think they're really laws at all. Unless they're enforced. Amen? Now, we've looked at God's laws, and we've been through seven of those laws. Seven principles that we could set for our lives that would keep us happy spiritually. Amen? Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not create unto thee any graven images, no idols. Not we've been through this stuff. Amen. And we've set these things up that'll make us happy spiritually. They'll make us happy in our marriage. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Is that right? Amen. They'll keep our conscience clean. Thou shalt not kill. We looked at that the other day or the other night. Now this morning, I want you to look at verse number 15. And just quickly, this morning, I want us to look at this simple little thought. Thou shalt not, say it.
Steal.
Wonder how many of us would raise our hand and say, I'm a thief. Got several honest people. And a lot of liars, amen? Amen. I used to preach a message years ago when I was a kid, a young kid preacher. I preached a message on thieves in the house of God. Amen. A den of thieves. We have thieves sitting in our church this morning. Listen, I don't think nobody's going to slip out of the service this morning and go jack your car up and take your rims while you listening to the preaching. I don't think anybody's going to go snatch the radio out of your dash this morning. But I think we have a church full of thieves. Amen? Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Listen. There are several reasons for this commandment. It's there to provide stability in our society, to teach respect for private property. Amen. These kids that run around painting stuff on, you know what I'm saying? You ever watch the trains as they go by? Every train car has what they call, graffiti, thank you. Painting their gang symbols and all that stuff. I got a gang symbol for you. It's a 38 Smith & Wesson. How about that? Amen. They go around painting their little signs all over everything. That's private property, friend. Amen. This was set up to protect our private property and to promote honesty and hard work. Amen. I don't mind you having anything as long as you work for it and earn it. Amen. Somebody said, why are you against, and I don't mean to get political this morning, but somebody said, why are you against Obamacare? Y'all listening?
Yes, sir.
Amen. Now listen, if I see Brother CJ has a need, has a great need, do I have the right to take out my wallet and give him $10? Do I? Why? Because that's my $10. Is that right? But if I see CJ has a need and Stacy's not really paying attention, do I have the right to slip his wallet out of his pocket and give him $10 out of Stacy's pocket? No. That's what Obamacare is. Amen. It's the theory of Robin Hood. Steal from the rich, give to the poor. Amen. Boy, we're getting quiet in here. Amen. It is highway robbery. Amen. Listen, I remember a time when I was a kid. Brother Stacy will remember, and Brother Jason, we all grew up in this area, and Brother Bubba, we could go to anybody's house at any time and just walk in the door. Is that right? I mean, I remember people used to say, hey, don't you ever knock? Amen. We'd go to Granny's house. Granny lived just across the pasture from me. I mean, our whole family lived in this little tight-knit circle right here. And as a kid, I mean, brother, I come flying through the door, and nobody locked their door. A guy told me the other day, I was preaching somewhere. I guess I was in Louisiana. That's the last place I drove to. I was in Louisiana, and the preacher had left something in my truck. He said, can I borrow your keys? I said, for what? He said, I left something in your truck. I said, oh, whatever you left in my truck is the same place my keys are. They're in my truck. He said, man, you don't lock your truck? No. Lord, I'm inviting somebody now, ain't I? That's the way I'm on the radio. Yeah, hallelujah. Tom, make sure that insurance is paid wherever you went. That's the way I grew up, man. We wasn't worried about somebody taking stuff that belonged to us. Amen? But society has changed, hasn't it? Why work for it when you can steal it? And now our government's teaching our children that principle. Why work for it when somebody will give it to you? Amen? Hallelujah. A guy told me the other day that a fella in his church repossessed automobiles for a living. That's what he did. He's a repo man. Boy, that'd be a stinking job, wouldn't it? I'd hate to do that. But he pulled up in the lady's yard and was backing his rollback wrecker up to her vehicle. And she come flying out of the house and said, you can't take my car. He said, oh, yes, I can. She said, no, you can't. Obama's going to pay for it. Now, we know he hadn't said that. He hadn't implied that. But that's what America expects. Amen. Listen, I'm not against disability. Are you listening to me? But what I'm against, listen, if you're able to work, now you listen to me carefully. This is going to get real plain before we get done this morning. If you're able to work a job, physically and mentally able to work a job, and you're drawing disability, you are stealing from that man right there. There he is right there. You stole his groceries. Am I okay? I'm not out of line, am I, Brother Freddie? You're robbing him. This man has applied for Social Security how many times? Three times. He's sitting right here, got his leg chopped off. You can walk out of here right now and drive up there to Walmart and stand in line but behind healthy people with a double handful of food stamps. Thou shalt not steal. Amen. By the way, Friday, Brother Tony Avery called our congressman. Got on the phone with him. The congressman hooked him up with another lady who's over this kind of stuff. And they're going to get some help for Brother Shane. So they say. Isn't it funny? Isn't it funny how a lawyer, he hired a lawyer. I don't know how long he's had the lawyer. I know since before he got his leg cut off, he's had a lawyer, and nothing's been done. One, just a citizen, calls a congressman. Wow, maybe we ain't picking up our phones enough. Amen. I know I'm chasing rabbits this morning, but it's a good, he's got a lot of meat on him, amen. Thou shalt not steal. I read a story last night about a London taxi driver who every day stayed in his cab all day long. And every day while he'd eat his sandwiches and drink his drinks or whatever he had, he kept in his cab. Every day he'd put all that stuff in a bag and he would throw it in the back seat of the cab. He said by the end of every day, that bag of trash would be gone. Now, you're in bad shape when you steal garbage. Amen. You're in bad shape when you steal garbage. Hallelujah. Listen, we need to be careful about this commandment. And I'm going to show you, I don't think we have a church full of literal thieves who would rob a convenience store. But we do rob. I'm guilty of it, and you're guilty of it. There's several ways that people break this command. People take things that simply don't belong to them. People take things that simply don't belong to them. You know, I would look at you and honestly say, I'm not a thief. I don't even have the temptation to steal something. I don't. I mean, I'm not better than somebody else. I just don't have that problem. Some people are kleptomaniacs. Yes, sir. But I got to thinking about it the other day. I remember working for the Douglas County Board of Education. I'm past the statute of limitations. I can admit it, okay? Confess. I remember coming home from work every day. I was a maintenance man. I remember coming home from work every day, and I had a place on my dresser, and my wife would fuss and say, "You got to clean this mess up." And I would empty my pockets. There would be screws and bolts, wire nuts, stuff that I worked with every day. I'd probably go dig through my garage. I hadn't worked there in 15 years. I could go dig through my garage, find some of that stuff today. Well, it got quiet, didn't it? Sometimes we take things that don't belong to us without intentionally doing it. Amen. I'm on the radio. Somebody hired a friend of mine, a very, very, very close friend of mine, to come to work at his company, which was a sort of a construction company. And they said, "I'm losing money. I mean, it's going faster than I can bring it in. I don't know what's happening." So he hired this fella to come in and tell him what was happening. He started managing the business and the work, and after a week or so, he told the owner of the company, he said, "I know where your money's going." He said, "Well, what's happening? Where's it going?" He said, "Your family's hauling it out of here on their trucks every night." Your family's hauling it out of here, doing their own little side business, doing their own work on the side, and they're using your material to do it. You know who they got rid of? The man who told them what the problem was. Amen. Thieves, people taking stuff that don't belong to them. Man, you go in the store and buy a suit, Go in the store and buy a shirt. It's got a magnetic thing on it that they have to release from there because it's going to alarm when you... I mean, it's bad. You go to Walmart, they have to lock up video games. Are you listening? You go to the drugstore, they've got cold medicine for sinuses locked in a cabinet. Why? Because crackheads want to, I don't know what they do with it, mash it up and make crystal meth out of it. Don't tell me we're not living in a world full of thieves. We are. A couple of years ago, my Bible that I preach out of has a blank page between every page. And I can put my notes on those blank pages. I had one just like this, and it was absolutely full. Y'all know the story. But our visitors don't, so just bear with me. A couple of years ago, I was preaching in New York, upstate New York, Utica. And I bear hunt with a pastor up there when I go, so I'd carried my bow. I told my wife, I called her, and I said, when you pick me up from the airport, I want you to have on something real nice. We're going out for a nice dinner. I took her to the Sundial restaurant in Atlanta. When she got to the airport, I put my bow case, my bow and arrow case, in the trunk. So there wasn't room for my luggage or my briefcase. So I set them in the back seat. We went up, had a real nice dinner. We came down, I'm talking about a guarded parking deck. We came down, somebody had kicked out my back window and stole my briefcase in which held my Bible. Somewhere in Atlanta, there is a crackhead preaching like a striped ape. Amen? That's bad when you steal a Bible. I think Brother Freddie had a Bible stolen one time, didn't you? Steal a Bible. If you need one, we'll give you one. If I was pressed hard enough, I'd give you mine. Are you listening to me? Thieves. Taking things that don't belong to them. I remember at where Route 61 Barbecue is, when I was growing up, across the road from Route 61 was Pace's store, convenience store. I'll never forget it. Me and my mother were standing at the checkout counter at the store. I was about this tall, so I was looking right straight at the front of the counter where all the bubble gum was. I reached down and got a piece of bazooka bubble gum. Popped that in my mouth. I was sitting in the car reading the comic thing off the Bazooka Joe bubble gum. My mother said, where'd you get that chewing gum? I said, in the store. Woo! I should have told her I found it on the ground, something other than in that store. Guess where I had to go? I had to go right back in that store, look Jimmy Pace in his eyeballs, and say, I stole your bubble gum. And then I got my rear end tore up. Yeah. Amen. Mother was teaching me early not to steal. Amen. We have to teach that principle to our children. Amen. Several years ago, it's been many years ago, my family and I went on vacation to Panama City Beach. We were playing putt-putt golf. Katie's fixing to walk out the door. We were playing putt-putt golf. And when you get to the end and you putt your ball and it goes in the hole, you know it goes away. Yeah. Y'all know what I'm talking about?
Yes, sir.
Well, we went out to eat ice cream after we played putt-putt golf. We're sitting there eating ice cream. Katie's playing with this green golf ball. I said, where'd you get that golf ball? Levi and Ashley bust out laughing. You're busted. She said, I didn't knock it in that hole when we got to the end. I said, you stole that golf ball. Guess where we went? We went back to the golf place, and we took that ball back. He said, come on, preacher, it's a golf ball. No, it's a principle.
Amen.
Are you listening to me? It is a principle.
Amen.
Amen. It is a principle. I wonder how many times you've bought something knowing it was stolen. Any of you men could work construction, you know what I'm talking about. If you ever worked around Atlanta, they come on your job over and over. Hey, man, you need a TV? You need a VCR? I mean, you could just take your Christmas list to work with you. Somebody wants to sell you a flat-screen TV for 20 bucks. Something's wrong. Amen. You might as well have taken it yourself. Are we all right? We steal by taking things that don't belong to us. We steal not only by stealing objects, but we steal by stealing time. Amen. We steal by taking things, but we steal by robbing our time. Amen. Boy, to get quiet here. Ephesians chapter number 5 and verse number 16, the Bible says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. I wonder how many of us could spend our time a little more wisely. Amen. Can I say it again? I wonder how many of us could spend our time a little more wisely. I know I could. Colossians chapter number 4 and verse number 5, the Bible said, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. You say, what do you mean robbing of our time? Showing up late for an appointment? You know what ticks me off? People call me who need help, counseling, and say, preacher, can you meet with me? And they never show up. They never call and say, I'm sorry we didn't make it. They just don't show up. It makes me mad. Yeah. Amen. It really does. Being late for work. Amen. I was the world's worst. I got my evaluation every year. They'd call us in the office at the Board of Education. They'd evaluate us. Brother Randy knows what I'm talking about. And our boss, he's retired now, but his name was Melvin Crook. He looked like Hoss Cartwright. He really did. He'd call me in his office. He'd say, Wyatt, you got to do something about the time clock. Late, every morning. Every morning. You know what I was doing? I was robbing my employer of their time. Taking extra long breaks. When I worked construction, this is what all the people who worked under me thought. When I left to go to the supply house, or when I left to go take care of some sort of business, they thought that meant it's break time. Just because the boss ain't there, we don't got to do nothing. Amen. That's stealing. If you're being paid for 8 hours, you're to work 8 hours.
That's right.
Amen. We okay? This is old fashioned, ain't it? Amen. We ought to work. We ought to work. We ought to work.
Amen.
Here's our fault in America. We want less work, more pay.
Amen.
Brother Charles is preaching off this morning. He's about to retire maybe in a year or so from Lockheed. Lockheed. Brother Charles makes good money. I mean, I'll just put it out. You work at Lockheed and you've been there for a few years, you do okay. Amen? You know what that crowd does? They got a union down there, and all they could do is complain about how unfair things are at Lockheed. Come on, man. Try unemployment. Amen? Try riding on the back of a garbage truck. Try working at McDonald's for minimum wage.
Yeah.
Don't get mad and leave, just leave. Amen. Amen. They're going to take care of the food for this funeral. We steal by taking things that don't belong to us, and we steal by robbing of our time. We watch the clock instead of watching the job.
Yeah.
I look at my watch every now and then during the service just so you'll think I'm paying attention to what time it is. Amen. By the way, if I'm going to change football teams, I'm going to change time zones.
Yeah.
It's 11:08. Amen. We steal by taking things that don't belong to us. We steal by robbing of our time, or our employer's time, or even God's time. This is God's time this morning. This is not your time. This is God's time. Amen. Listen, people steal through gossip. People steal through gossip. You say, how is that stealing? You're stealing somebody else's character. Think about it. Jeremiah chapter 23 and verse 31, the Lord said, behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that use their tongues and say, he saith. Do you understand what that means? He's talking about somebody who said, hey, so-and-so said, how many times have I heard this? Listen, I promised I wouldn't tell nobody. Well, shut up. I've heard that 1,000,000,000 times in my life. Hey, listen, you can't say nothing because I promised I wouldn't say nothing. Well, you think I'm going to keep it to myself? If you can't, I can't. Amen. I can't believe I told somebody something in confidence. You're stupid. But God, quiet. You don't want it retold, don't tell it. Amen. Because we are sitting in a room full of people who will rob you of your character. I know my church. I know our people. Somebody said, why don't you get a Facebook? I'm scared to see what's on yours. We all right? Turn to Proverbs. A little scripture. I'll have you out of here by 12:30, okay? Proverbs. Thou shalt not steal. Proverbs chapter number 11. Proverbs chapter number 11. I think this is one of our biggest crimes when it comes to stealing. Proverbs chapter number 11. I know churches that are in trouble this morning because people can't shut their mouth. I know preachers whose ministries have been destroyed because people couldn't shut their mouth. We all right? It's our nature, isn't it? It's our nature. But wait a minute. We're supposed to have a new nature. Our nature now, if we're saved, is supposed to be to build up, not to tear down. Our new nature is to uplift and to encourage, not to discourage and to stomp in the mud. Amen? But I know Christians who do it and do it on a regular basis. Proverbs chapter number 11, look at verse number 13. The Bible said, a talebearer revealeth secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. Wow. Means if you're right with God, you'll keep it to yourself. How many of you know something bad about somebody? Surely every one of us does. I know something bad about most of y'all. Some of y'all know something bad about me. I'll make a deal with you. Don't tell mine, I won't tell yours. Amen? Don't tell mine. I had a lady tell me on the phone yesterday. She said, I got to tell you something, but you got to promise me you won't tell anybody. This was personal. I was counseling. This was very personal. You know what I said? I said, you can count on it. She said, Brother Eddie, I mean nobody. I said, you got it. I said, the only person who'll hear it out of my mouth is the Lord. Amen. Why? I'm going to conceal that matter. Proverbs chapter number 16. I'm going to show you why I'm going to conceal that matter. Proverbs chapter number 16, just a few pages over. We'll be done in a minute. Just hang on. Proverbs chapter number 16, look at verse number 28. The Bible said, a froward man soweth strife, and a whisperer separateth chief friends. That's why I'm not going to reveal it. I'm going to conceal it. Why? I want to keep a friend. Amen. I want to keep a friend. If you'll notice, people who run their mouth all the time, people slowly move away from them.
That's right. Amen. Yes, sir.
We ran a Christian school here for 12 years. These girls, some of them are sitting in this room this morning, who grew up and graduated from our Christian school. Drama, 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 drama. Always talking about one another. All you're doing is hurting your friend. All you're doing is driving a friend away. Look at Proverbs chapter number 20. Y'all all right this morning? It got quiet in here. You can say amen, surely, even if a guilty dog barks, amen. Proverbs chapter number 20 and verse number 19. The Bible said, "He that goeth about as a talebearer revealeth secrets, therefore meddle not with him that flattereth with his lips." You know what he said? Stay away from him. Some of y'all ought to go home before the service even, before we even come back for service tonight, and you need to, I don't know the proper term, but you need to unfriend some people. Or defriend some people on your Facebook. Can you do that? Can you kick them off? You need to kick them off. He said don't meddle with them. If they're talking about people, don't meddle with them. You know why people call and tell you stuff about other people? Because you listen. If you don't give them an audience, who are they going to tell? You ought to say, "Hey, my computer's not your garbage can. And my ear's not your garbage can. I do not want to hear it." How many of us are guilty of it? We ought to jump up and down and turn a flip right there. Amen. Oh, yeah. I ain't guilty of the Facebook thing. I ain't got one. Amen. People steal by taking things that don't belong to them. People steal by robbing of time. And people steal people's character and friendship by running their mouth. William Shakespeare said this, "He that takes from me my good name robs me of that which does not enrich him and makes me poor indeed." Isn't that something? Did you know I could just absolutely make up a wild story about Brother Freddie? Absolutely untrue. And I could start spreading that around. I could do it. You remember the game you played when you were kids? You whisper something in somebody's ear and they pass it down the line. And by the time it gets to the end, it's something totally different. Yeah. I could even share a truth about Brother Freddie. Not even a lie. Something real. I could find something wrong with him. It don't take long. I could find something wrong with him. And I could tell CJ. Well, CJ says, "Oh, Brother Eddie, I won't tell nobody." And CJ says, "Shane, he ain't going to believe this. I promised I wouldn't tell nobody, so you can't say a word, okay?" Shane says, "I won't say a word." So he tells Brother Shane. And Shane says, "Oh, my, Brother Warren, you ain't going to believe it." Yeah. Amen. Amen. Telephone, tell a friend, yeah. Tell a Warren. Amen. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. And there it goes. And by the time that thing ends up, it is so twisted. Somebody once said, "Only believe half of what you see and none of what you hear." Yeah. Amen. We steal through gossip. Let me give you one more. And I'll just bump this and we'll finish up. We steal by defrauding other people, by cheating. We steal by cheating. If you beat somebody out of something, you've stole. Amen. I'll never forget, Brother D's not here this morning. He went to hear Brother Charles is preaching for Brother George Hill. So he went with his dad this morning to hear him preach. I'll never forget when D's son Jared was little, Brother D had a Jeep for sale. And he had that thing out at the end of the driveway, and this old fella stopped to look at the Jeep, and Jared went everywhere his daddy did. I mean, just he was his shadow. And they're standing at the end of the driveway, and the old fella says, "How's this thing run?" Old D said, "Oh, it runs good." He said, "Man, that's a good old Jeep right there." And old Jared said, "Daddy, you said that thing's a piece of junk." Amen. Hey, if it's a piece of junk, tell him, "This is what I want for it, but I'm going to tell you straight up, it's junk." Have you ever met a car salesman tell you that? Amen. Hey, there ain't no such thing as an honest car salesman. No such thing. It's a piece of junk. Here, it's $2,000, but it don't crank half time. Amen. We steal by cheating other people. We have Brother Todd, my son-in-law, which, by the way, is Atlanta City cop. You mess with me, he'll bust you. Amen. He'll plant something on you. But he, that's what cops do, right? He was a painter by trade. And they went out, him and Judd, his partner, they went out in the community over in Roswell or somewhere, and they put out flyers about their painting business. This fella called them and said, yeah, I want you to come paint my house. Rich, fancy neighborhood. They went and bought all the paint out of their pocket. They went and painted the house, and I hope that crook's listening this morning. I doubt it. He never intended to pay. He never got a dime. They never got a dime. That man hired them with the intention of never paying them. And if you've worked construction long, you've had it happen to you. Amen? I wonder what our tithes would have been this morning if all our construction workers had been paid what was owed. Amen. You know what? I had a heating and air man tell me one time. He said, I would rather work for a bar doing their air conditioning work than a church. There was a church in the area, let's say within these three surrounding counties, I'll put it that way. They were building a new building. A friend of mine did their heating and air. He never got paid. Well, what a testimony. When a church won't pay, what's wrong? Thieves, that's what's wrong. Amen. You can't pay, don't hire. Amen. Amen. Whew. One more and I'll quit. Malachi chapter number 3. We can't preach on stealing and leave this out. I'm sorry. Malachi chapter number 3. People steal by robbing God. Why wouldn't you steal from your employer? If you'll steal from God, you'll steal from anybody. I know it'll get quiet right here. We'll just stand up and shout just in spite of it. Malachi chapter number 3 and verse number 10. Now watch this carefully. I wonder how many of us would raise our hands and say, I rob God every chance I get. Some of you did this morning. A lot of you did this morning. Verse number 8. He said, will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? Watch this. Are you looking at it? In tithes and offering. Take a good look at the person sitting next to you. You may very well be sitting with a thief this morning. If they'll rob from God, why wouldn't they just stick their hand in your purse? Take your wallet. Why not? If we'll rob from God, we'll steal from anybody. Amen. I don't know how much you made this week, but 10% of that doesn't belong to you. I don't preach on money much. And I'm not preaching on money this morning. I'm preaching on stealing it. Amen. That preacher just after my money. No, I'm not. I really ain't. I don't want your money. I'm after God's money. Are you listening?
Yes, sir.
This little lady brought 13 children with her to church this morning.
Amen.
They're hearing the gospel this morning from Brother Greg or from Brother Jerry, one of the two.
Yeah.
They're hearing Jesus preached.
Yeah.
You know what that does? That costs money. Those buses rolled out of here this morning. As far as I know, they were full of gas. As far as I know, they are fully insured. Amen. As far as I know, there were qualified people behind the wheel to drive those kids and get them here. As far as I know, the tires had tread on them. And the engines had oil in them. That costs money. These lights, it costs money. I thought about this when I was preparing this sermon. I thought about all to preach this on a Sunday night. And do it in the dark. I thought about taking the hottest day of the year and cutting off the air. The coldest day of the winter and shutting off the gas valve. I wonder how many of you would come here. You'll go to Douglasville to Arbor Place Mall and spend $40 or $50. That's probably on the light side. going to see a movie that's fiction. But you'll come to church and hear the truth of the gospel, a place where your family can be put back together, a place where you can be saved, born again, know Christ as your Savior, see your children on the altar praying, and you say, I ain't putting no money in that plate. All they're after is my money. How many times you say that when you go to the theater and buy your ticket? All y'all want's my money. Yeah, that's why they're there. But that's not why we're here. We're here to help you. We're here to be a blessing in your life. And you cripple us by keeping what belongs to God. Brother Tom is over our finances. He's a little short, ugly guy, takes up the office. He's the head usher. Bungalow. Now I've got problems with my secretary. Amen. Talking about her husband. Over the last few years, he has aged dramatically. And it's not living with her. It's not. It's dealing with the finances of our church. I almost avoid him because he never has good news. It's always, Brother Eddie, I don't know what we're going to do. If something don't happen by the end of the month, we're going to have to cancel your health insurance. I don't know how we're going to make the mortgage. I don't know how we're going to do this. I don't know how we're going to do that. Somehow God keeps us about like this. You say, why does the church have so much financial trouble? Because you're robbing God. And by robbing God, you're robbing yourself. I mean, I don't want to beat a dead horse this morning, but you don't get to keep it. Do you realize that? You don't get to keep it. Somebody's going to get it. Preacher, I'm just so far behind. Wonder why? I can't afford to pay my own bills. Wonder why? You expect God to bless? It's quiet in here this morning, isn't it? I don't know where Brother Tom's at this morning. He was here until we took up the offering. He may have saw how little it was and ran. Every Sunday morning, I sit down at my desk. I've got bills laying on my desk at home. But I promise you one thing. Before I write a check to my Home Depot account, before I write a check to Greystone Power, before I write a check to Paulding County Water System, there's going to be two checks written first. Happy Valley Baptist Church. On the bottom where it says for, one's going to say tithes. On the bottom where it says for, one's going to say mission. Every week. It's habitual. It's not even a thought. I just do it. Are y'all listening to me this morning? This is your church. This is your place of worship. This is a place where you and your family can pray together. Listen, you can bring your teenagers on Wednesday night. And Levi, my son's our youth pastor. He studies and prepares and has something special for our teenagers just for them. Amen. How many of your kids play ball? Any kind of ball, any kind of sport. Is it free? About what's it cost, BJ? Huh? $50. $50 to play ball. Wow. We don't mind paying for all these things that are meaningless. Shucking out money, shucking out money. What's it cost to get in Six Flags? $45? Per person. For a family of five? Come on, man. Some of you see to it every year that your kid has a pass. The season's pass. We throw money out there. But yet you're the same people who say, we can't pay our bills. Try giving God what belongs to Him. You could be sitting next to a thief this morning, or you might just look in the mirror. Amen. Have you robbed God this morning? Should I take up the offering again? Should I pass the offering plate one more time? Brother Ruffray said he'd do it. Thieves sitting in God's house. Brother Todd, y'all come to PN. I told you I'd quit by 12:30. It's 12:30 on the nose. While they're coming, we got to wait on them anyway. Let me give you one more. If we're not careful, we'll rob God of our talent. Some of you good at bumping them gums. Why don't you do it for the Lord? Some of you got a voice to sing, but yet you stand there during the congregational singing just like it. Don't open your mouth. Amen. Let's stand to our feet this morning. Thou shalt not steal. Hey, you know what you ought to do? Seriously, think about it. If you robbed God this morning of your tithes and offerings, you ought to see to it you're going to put a check in that plate tonight. You say, preacher, we just can't afford to. I don't know how you say that. I can't afford not to. I believe what bills I have that are paid because I give God what belongs to Him. Oh, I remember those days. Standing on my front porch with my wife, crying her eyes out, while a wrecker backed in my driveway and took her car. We've had that happen. I remember those phone calls. Sir, if you don't pay your bill, we're coming after it. You get one more payment behind on your house. Surely I ain't the only one that's ever had a phone call like that. Do you know what? I ain't had one in a long time. And I figured out about when it quit. When I started giving God what belonged to Him. You say, why won't God bless me? He can't. He can't do it. Because you're stealing from Him. Are you robbing of your time? Are you robbing people with your gossip of their character? What area is your biggest area of stealing this morning? It'd be a good opportunity to just get on the altar and say, God, I'm sorry. I'm a thief and a robber. I beg you to forgive me. Lord, I'm going to do better if you'll help me. Amen. Somebody made to be here this morning. You've never been saved. Message had nothing to do with salvation. You don't know for sure if heaven would be your home when you die. Hey, if you'll come to this altar, somebody will take a Bible and pray with you and show you before you leave here how you can know you'll spend eternity in heaven. You ain't got to die and go to hell. That's what Jesus died for. You can get that thing settled in your heart this morning. Y'all go ahead and sing. I don't know what in the world you sing after a sermon like that. But just go ahead and sing. God dealing with your heart, you come.